It's a Local Music Thursday on the Gary Sharp Show, Above the Stakes. This one's called She's a Good Woman. It is off their album Drat the Luck, and you can find that on all of their all of your favorite streaming providers: Apple, Google, Spotify, all of them. It's a band right here from Omaha. Members been playing together since the early 2000s, and they released this album, and they hope that you enjoy it. She's a Good Woman, Above the State, on a Local Music Thursday on the Gary Sharp Show.
A former Husker has found a home. Ivan Udarago has announced that he is transferring to Grand Canyon University in Phoenix.
Oh, wow.
Went to the NCAA tournament last year. Bryce Drew is the head coach. I mean, not a bad school if you want to go there. It's beautiful weather. It's a fun place to play. Basically, it's a party with a basketball court in the middle of it.
Mm.
It's where Dan Marley used to be the head coach until he was given the Ziggy. It's wild. It's at Omaha played there a couple of years ago, and it literally is a party in the stands. Like, the students come out in full force.
Yeah.
And the basketball game is like secondary.
Wow.
They got music. They dance during the timeouts. Oh, it's wild.
It's just a show.
You would think you were at like an old CBA game.
Oh, wow. Oh, I want to see that.
But it's a place where, especially around here, I notice there's a lot of kids that have an interest in going to Grand Canyon University in Phoenix.
Mm.
The weather, they got nice facilities. Kevin Brady, who used to be at UNO, is in charge of some of their athletic facilities.
Uh-huh.
So that's where Udarago is going. He is going to Grand Canyon, as he announced it on his Twitter page. We'll still wait to see where Akola Rope ends up. Nebraska has a couple guys that are still in the transfer portal. No big news today of a win out of the portal for red, blue, or black Nebraska. All right, a little bit later in this hour, before we turn over to USC, George will have the NBA Minute. Again, fantastic game last night between Phoenix and Utah. It was worthy of a conference final. It's going to go down as one of the better games in the NBA all season long.
Oh, yeah.
Also, I noticed last night, the Brooklyn Blake Griffin dunks.
Oh, isn't that something?
Yeah, in Detroit, he didn't dunk the basketball. Oh. Now he's back to dunking the basketball.
Isn't it something that the Brooklyn James Harden puts up triple-doubles?
Yeah.
I don't know what is in the water in Brooklyn, but we need to get some of that. Maybe I can start dunking. Who knows? I don't know. It's just something.
We'll keep you updated on what's going on at Augusta National. As you enjoy your pimento cheese sandwich. $1.50 at the concession stand at Augusta National. I would just go for the Georgia Peach ice cream sandwich or the classic chicken sandwich. And the prices, you can't beat the quality of food. Everybody, they brainwash you that you think you got to go eat a pimento cheese sandwich because that's what you do at Augusta. Well, I guess you do, but you don't have to enjoy it. And thank God it's only $1.50. As you can tell, I'm not a big fan.
I was about to say, yeah, you're not a fan.
Well, it's got mayo. Ugh. I'm not a huge mayo fan.
Okay, you say no mayo?
No. That takes away from the sandwich. It's just like, hey, can I just have the shredded cheese and the mayo and no pimentos?
The mayo makes the sandwich?
Well, it's part of the sandwich.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But it's the shredded cheese, the mayo, and the diced red pimentos all go together. And they have to be together.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's a package.
Well, there was one time there was some people might make it with cream cheese. They just do cream cheese in the pimentos.
Oh, wow.
I'm not a fan.
Not me either.
I had it one time. I'm good.
At least you had it.
I'm good.
Okay, you tried it.
That's fine. That's fine. Atop the leaderboard, Webb Simpson now has moved into a tie. He's a sneaky pick for a lot of people that were looking at sleepers. Like if you're looking at, I said Fitzpatrick, Cameron Smith. Webb Simpson shows up in a sleeper category. He is currently in a three-way tie for first at 4-under. Webb Simpson is through 13. Brian Harman is in the clubhouse, shot a 69 today. That's a nice way to finish tied for fourth right now. Yesterday, after Nebraska wrapped up practice. And if you've not heard the news, Nebraska will have an open practice for fans coming up on the 17th, 1 week from tomorrow or Saturday. Nebraska football will be hosting an open practice so all the fans can go and watch. Well, just 4,000 of the fans. Here are the details, and you can go to Huskers.com for more information. But they're going to do it in three waves that they're going to be offering tickets for an open practice 1 week from Saturday. It's free to the public. The tickets are limited, 4,000. It'll be socially distanced. The first wave of tickets will be made available beginning tomorrow at 6, then Monday at 6, and then Wednesday at 6. The practice will take place from 2:15 to 4:45, and as Stibbs has agreed to, we will have big red overreaction beginning at 4:45 for people that were at the practice. So feel free to call in, and it's just whatever. Whatever observation you want to give, you can give. And it'll be basically a hostless show. It'll just be somebody answering the phone. You get on the air.
Because, oh, boy.
Because you don't want to just answer the and go, well, you got to remember that this is only the 10th practice of the year, and you got to remember it's just the spring. No, let people just overreact. Oh, my God, I saw Martinez. He was being rushed out of the pocket, and he just threw the ball into the turf. What's wrong with his arm? Something was said yesterday. Deontay Williams talked about culture and not going to a bowl game and voting on a bowl game and what happened there. Let's move away from that. Because my opinion on Nebraska's choice of what they did with deciding if they were going to continue the season or not, I was for. If you didn't want that to be the case, the head coach shouldn't have put it up for a player vote. He put it up for a player vote. He was worn out. I think a good majority of the team was worn out. You're not going to find any defensive guys that were worn out. Those guys were ready to play. Those guys are ready to play right now. And they're going to have to carry the water for a little bit, maybe even the whole season, but that's okay. Guys understand the defense. They know what's going on. They can play faster. Still have to get better, but have made strides. And experience helps. And now in the spring, you build depth. Now, back to Deontay Williams. Travis Fisher has a special gift. He can coach football, and I think he's a good mentor. When he gets to spend time with his players, I think he is a good, hey, let's talk life. I'm not your position coach. I'm a guy that's lived your life. He relates very well to his players. And he likes to build those relationships. He likes to spend time with his guys. You know, he lost some guys last year out of guys that he recruited. He didn't get to spend a lot of time with them. But if you're in his defensive back room, you understand him, and he understands you. And he has the knack for convincing two guys that could have gone and made money, because they got mouths to feed, this Muke and Williams, to come back and play. And you are hearing this more from the defensive players. It kind of started with JoJo Doman last week. In defensive players recognizing and reading the room, and they know what the temperature is. It's not just defensive players. It's coaches as well on the defensive side of the ball at Nebraska that get, there's high expectations. They have high expectations. They know they haven't lived up to those expectations. They know there's a level of standard, and it begins with minimum bottom line, going to a bowl game, being successful. Defensive players and coaches haven't been afraid to talk about that, almost to the point that they're apologizing for letting people down. But they're also telling you, we're going to prove it. And you may not want to hear that, and I'm waiting until August 28th. But that's the tone right now from guys on the defensive side of the football. And Deontay Williams had this quote yesterday. And you understand, he came here as a junior college guy. He was going to be an integral part of the 19 team, and he got hurt right away. He had to stand on the sidelines and basically be a player coach. Didn't sit well with him. But he has worked through any challenges to get back on the field. He's now in grad school. He's working on his master's degree in financial planning. And he's got a family. This was his quote yesterday, which I think is very telling for one side of the football and what their mindset is. Quote, I feel like this team that we've got right now can do way more, and we want to show the country we are better than anybody else thinks we are. I want to leave a footprint in changing the program so even 20 years from now, when his son is ready to play football, he'll be able to look back and see what daddy has done. There's a lot of pride. You hear Dolman, you hear Williams, some other defensive guys that have spoke. They don't like losing. It's in their power to fix it. But they don't want to suck anymore. Maybe suck is too harsh of a term. But you're 12 and 20. Some guys have been here and they haven't even gone to a bowl game. Haven't sniffed a bowl game. And Williams also said, whatever you think we are, a 500 team, 7-5, our goal is to win the West. Well, that should be the goal every year. But a majority of the people, when you look at this team and you look at this program, what do you think of them? You think of them as a 500 or below team. Because all you have to go on is what you see on Saturday, for the good and the bad on Saturday, and putting it all together. Is this team minimum right now, the way they're assembled, a 500 team and a bowl team at 6-6? I believe so. I mean, that's the bare, non-negotiable minimum this year, is to make a bowl game. But they're telling you what their expectations are. They're telling you that they hear from you, that they understand you're not happy, they're not happy, and they're going to do something about it. You hear that more on the defensive side of the football. Now, it's not like nobody on the offense is talking like this, but I think defensive guys are willing to go there more, which leads you to believe that they feel real good about what's going on that side of the ball. There's a reason guys came back. There's a reason guys stuck together. There's a reason guys didn't bolt if they were not one of those starters. If they were a backup and all of a sudden a guy in front of them comes back for his fifth or sixth year, they didn't say, I'm out. There's something going on the defensive side more than the X's and the O's. Guys like each other. Guys are having fun. And it may also be we look at it and they're an older group. Offensive, certain positions, young guys still don't know each other that well. We don't know them that well. We're on defense. We pretty much know the 22 right now. The two deep at both spots. Not a lot of unfamiliar names that are in there. But defensive guys are willing to go there and tell you what they think, what the expectations are, that they hear you, and they're out to prove, not necessarily you wrong, but to prove something. And most importantly, prove something to yourself. Get validated for the work you put in. But there's interesting stories that are building up why guys came back. Deontay could just say, hey, I came back so I can get to the NFL. Well, he kind of has said that. Well, he might be more open with that. That's fine. But he's doing it twofold. I'm going to use Nebraska to get to the NFL. I'm going to get more tape. And if I play well enough, my mates will play well enough, and we'll get to where we want to go. He's going to become somebody who will be very popular with the media. He doesn't speak a lot, but now he's a gray beard on this roster, and he's willing to speak. That's the quote that I was more interested in talking about than him posed about the bowl situation and, you know, got to get that culture fixed. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine with what they did last year when they decided not to go to a bowl game. All right, let's sneak in Jay here before the break. Jay, thanks for holding. Welcome to the show.
How you doing, Gary?
Good, Jay.
Hey, I wanted to say you mentioned something that was very important that popped out to me. Fisher. When you said that in reference to Travis Fisher, something that I noticed probably last season or the season before, just the way the secondary responds to adversity and the way they respond to triumph. It's different than everyone else, every other position on the field. The linebackers respond away, the D-line responded away, but the secondary stood out to me. And I noticed that it's because of the relationship I feel like he has with his players and what happens in that room. When I think of the team as of today, I think of they're the strongest part of the team, and they're going to win us some games. Because mm-hmm. he's got like four or five legitimate dogs, and I'm not saying that in any kind of an inflammatory way. I mean, like, dudes that will get after it and knock you out in the name of Husker football. You got a whole bunch of those in the secondary. It's because they've bought in to that their coach cares about them and that their coach is going to do or are going to put them in the position to be the most successful they can be as players and as men. And as a 17, 18-year-old dude, when you look into a grown man's eyes and he's instructing you in, on the field and in life, you just want to know that that person is going to at least remain 10 toes down for you when adversity comes. And if you can make it through something like that with a coach, then on the other end of that is can only be success. You feel me? So I feel probably more optimistic than I ever have about this upcoming season. For the only reason why is because I saw Travis Fisher's interview for the spring, and the way he talked about his fellas made me feel like that he's instilled something in them that will translate to greatness on the field.
Jay,
thanks for the time, Gary.
Hey,
good thing, bro.
Hey, Jay, great call, and he's absolutely right. And we all have kind of gotten to know Travis Fisher, but you hear him talk about how he relates life to his players and the way that he treats them, you know, makes them put in their, you know, the cell phones are not going to be out in a position group room. But let's circle back. He got some fellas now that he can work with either at cornerback or safety. He's got an opportunity to send a couple of guys into the NFL off of this current roster. Now, Boodle could be drafted in 3 weeks from, you know, this beginning today for the NFL draft. But he's got Cam Taylor-Britt. Cam Taylor-Britt, this is it for him. I mean, Cam Taylor-Britt, get all your viewing of Cam Taylor-Britt. Because if Cam Taylor-Britt is back next year, I'm wondering what's wrong. You don't want him back next year. You want him to have a monster all-conference year and go off into the NFL. And hopefully work his way into not being a third-day guy, but a second-day guy. So you can show, hey, we took a guy, we brought him into the program, we let him grow, and look what he did. Dismukin Williams, he can rely on two veteran safeties. And he's bringing up guys from behind. I mean, seeing Miles Farmer yesterday in uniform and going through a workout, that's a huge sign for Nebraska. Because after he got injured against Purdue before the game started, I thought, wow, he's out for a while. But at safety, you've got Dismukin Williams, two old guys, and then you got Farmer and Pola Gates, who have played, but have not played extensively. If Noah Pola Gates is healthy, then we finally get to see his true ability that we like coming out of high school. And then the other part of the safety room is I got two freshmen. Kobe Bretz has, I think, as much upside of anybody in this recruiting class. I don't think that Travis Fisher, whoever's coaching defensive backs down the road, will be able to hold on to him. I think he's going to be just like a Javon Wright with the body size that comes in as a defensive back and moves up to the next level. Isaac Gifford is one of those that could do the same thing. They're both that talented. Then at cornerback, disappointed that Buford isn't able to go through spring. He was my sleeper in the Super Six. I like how he plays. But you have to figure out who's going to start opposite Cam Taylor-Britt. Is it Joseph? I know Joseph was getting, you know, burned on social media because he was the one that had to pick up bets on the long toss from Martinez. Now, you got to be better, but let's also give credit. Xavier Betts is coming. Braxton Clark, Quentin Newsom. So it's a good room. It's nice to not have question marks in the back end. Guys that you can rely on, guys that you can trust. Now, not a lot of depth if all of a sudden you had a key injury to a starter or two. But I like the focus and where they're headed, and I absolutely agree with everything that Jay said on that phone call about what Travis Fisher means and how he brings that group along. But the mere fact that he got his two safeties to come back to school, I mean, they both, whether they would get drafted or not, they need to start making some money. But they convinced Williams to come back and say, chase your master's degree. There's a kid that came out of junior college. Now he's going to chase his master's degree. And he's going to be one of the vocal guys. He's been kind of quiet. He'll be definitely a vocal guy. But I liked what he said yesterday. And just it's right on the tail of what Travis Fisher said last week and what Joe Dodoman said. A lot of defensive guys, there's reasons they came back. Either personal reasons to get tape and go to the league, or they don't want to be labeled as A guy at Nebraska that played 4 or 5 years or 2 or 3 years, never went to a bowl game. JoJo Doman, I'd say one of the driving forces for him, and he'll be a captain. Doman and Williams might be your two defensive captains. And then Martinez and Allen on the offensive side. JoJo Doman, one of the things that drives him is to leave the program in a better spot than when he walked in the door. And he's been through the roller coaster through two different coaching staffs. And he was gone. I did not expect him to come back. After they played Minnesota, after the whole stadium had cleared out of 200 fans or whatever, 200 family members, I mean, JoJo Doman came back out on the field. It was almost like he was taking mental pictures of his last time at Memorial Stadium. I thought the guy's gone. Going to get ready for the draft. He's gotten good advice from his dad, who's an agent. Move on, play professional football. He came back and he went, whoa. Came back for a reason. These guys all came back for a reason, and they're telling the story. But something about the defensive guys, something's being spread on the defensive side of the football, that those guys feel good enough, top to bottom, from the front end to the back end, that they're talking about expectations and knowing what you feel and what they feel, and it's time to prove it. Not we will, but we have to. All right, we're back with more of the Gary Sharp Show after this.